Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul expresses the heart of our ministry when he says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Welcome to Proclaiming Christ. Proclaiming Christ is a ministry of Providence Presbyterian Church, OPC. We are a church that believes in the power of God's Word, and we strive to preach the gospel every week. We meet just south of the Beltline in Fitchburg, and we would love to have you worship with us. For more information about Providence, please visit us online at proclaimingchrist.net. That's proclaimingchrist.net. Or just Google Providence, Madison, Wisconsin. Proclaiming Christ can be heard Monday through Friday right here on WJWD.
Welcome to another edition of Proclaiming Christ. I'm Pastor Mark Jenkins. I'm pastor of Providence here in Madison, Providence Church. And we sponsor Proclaiming Christ, and we're glad to do it because it is our joy and mission to proclaim Christ. And joining me today is Ted Beglin. I almost said Pastor Ted.
No.
But that's not quite right.
Not a pastor.
Ted is a graduate student at UW.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can get this right, Ted. You're studying power distribution.
Yeah, power systems, yeah.
Power systems, something like that.
Yeah.
Keeping the lights on.
Kind of, yeah.
Right. Getting a master's in engineering is, yep, what it's really all about. But Ted is a man of many talents. He also graduated from the same seminary I went to, so he knows enough to keep me in line, and that's, mm-hmm, really why he's here. So thanks for joining me, Ted.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're doing a series on Proclaiming Christ, going through a number of topics dealing with the Holy Spirit, and the goal is really to get some basic facts about the Holy Spirit down. We're not diving real deep, but we're trying to cover some really, really important fundamental principles about the Holy Spirit, the kind of principles that every Christian really needs to know, and the kind of principles that go a long way in the Christian life. These are principles that if we really think about applying them and we really try to be consistent with them, they lead us a long way towards a really full biblical understanding of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in our day, that's very important because there's a lot of falsehoods about the Holy Spirit being preached out there, being taught.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is used by many as a foil to lead people into a lot of falsehood,
mm-hmm,
to take people's money. They claim special power. They claim special revelation. They claim certain things about the Spirit that just aren't biblically true, and it can have a very devastating impact on people's lives. But when we properly understand what the Bible really teaches about the Spirit, it can make for a very powerful impact on our lives. It frees us from a lot of things. It explains a lot of things. It gives us a cause for great joy and excitement. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn some basic but powerful truths about the Holy Spirit. So far, we've looked at the fact that the Spirit is a person, not a force. That was the first thing we covered. Person, not a force. A real person, not some abstract energy field, mm-hmm, like you'd find in Star Wars or that kind of thing. And then secondly, we looked at the fact that the Spirit is a gift, not a goal. If you are a believer, you can count on the fact that you do indeed have the Spirit. He's a gift, not a goal that the Christian has to work towards. Then we looked at the fact that the Spirit himself is a giver, not a seller. So in other words, the Spirit is a gift, not a goal. And then once we've received that Spirit as a gift, we don't have to earn the Spirit's activity in our lives. We don't have to earn the Spirit's work and power in our lives. As we've said, we don't get the Spirit going in our lives. The Spirit gets us going. The Spirit is the one that energizes us. So the Spirit is a giver, not a seller. And then last time we looked at the fact that the Spirit, what the Spirit gives us is Jesus Christ. The primary thing the Spirit is focused on delivering is Jesus Christ. And we want to talk more about that today. We want to build off of this very, very, very important fact. The Spirit is not interested in giving us little peripheral things in the Christian life. The Spirit was sent on a mission to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. As it says, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, he says, "Therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to faith. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that new life, that regeneration whereby we are made willing and able to cling to Jesus Christ as our Savior. As Paul says, we've in Titus 3, we've been saved by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He's on a mission to give us Jesus, to give us new life in Christ.
Yeah, that's it's like the story of Nicodemus. Christ, talking with Nicodemus, says that you must be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom.
John 3.
Yeah.
One must be born again.
Yeah.
That's right. And he talks about, being born of the Spirit. Exactly. The Spirit's goal, the Spirit's mission is to deliver Jesus Christ to God's elect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the primary thing that the Spirit is focused on giving to us,
mm-hmm.
is knowledge of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. And we want to mm-hmm. talk more about that today. We want to talk more about what the Spirit gives in connection with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us Christ, meaning, first of all, he gives us faith in Jesus. He gives us knowledge of Jesus. But then we must also say that he gives us all of Christ's benefits.
Okay.
It's not just faith in Christ. It's faith in Christ and all that comes from that faith, all that belongs with that faith, all that we receive when we receive Jesus Christ. That's what we want to talk about today. And this is when we talk about what we receive when we receive Jesus, we're talking about a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a big topic.
It's it's a very long list. Because Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, he says that in Christ we've been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We've been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when we receive Christ, we get a whole lot.
It's all the benefits of being a Christian. And the sum total, you know.
The sum total,
everything.
Exactly. Everything comes with Jesus. In later in Ephesians 1, in verses 13 and 14, Paul talks more about what these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are. He goes through a list of that. And then in verses 13 and 14, he really connects that with the Spirit of God. And says something very, very interesting, very powerful, something that a lot of believers don't think much about. He says in verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So in believing in Christ, we were mm-hmm. sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14 then, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory."
Mm-hmm.
So notice what he says about the Spirit. When we come into Christ, we receive all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places,
mm-hmm.
and the Spirit is the guarantee of that great heavenly inheritance, the guarantee or the down payment
mm-hmm.
of our inheritance, which is heaven itself. So amazingly, We can say that in receiving Christ, the Spirit, when the Spirit brings us Jesus Christ and gives us faith in Christ, we receive Christ and all his benefits, we are then given by the Spirit the blessings of heaven right here and now. We are given heaven itself intruding into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
All the blessings of heaven right here and now. And that's a great thing.
I think that's. It also makes it difficult to figure out what exactly are these benefits, what are these spiritual blessings. It can be taken a lot of different ways. If you look at God as creator, and the whole world is in his hand.
Yeah.
He could give you cars. He could give you, you know, is heaven going to be abundant riches?
Right.
So you have a whole spectrum of people who say, well, for now, you know, they're pessimistic. Things aren't going to be so good for you, but they're going to get much better in heaven, or you're supposed to get a lot of heaven now.
Right, in heaven meaning a lot of earthly wealth or something like that.
All kinds of, or maybe, you know, some kind of spiritual power to influence people.
Yeah, I mean, right. So it's important for us to further define. Well, what do we mean when
yeah,
we say
if you stop here, you
heaven
could,
in your life right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, you could put any good thing under
yeah, we
spiritual
could, we
blessing.
Could make up what we like about heaven, the golden roads and pearly gates and whatever other sort of those are biblical type images, but we could insert whatever sort of earthly fantasies we have into that picture.
Right.
And we could also think that you know, when I say the Spirit gives us heaven in our lives right now,
mm-hmm.
well, am I saying that this is heaven? That our lives right now are heaven?
Definitely not.
No, it's a down payment of heaven. It's not the complete deliverance of heaven, of course. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is still this wicked world. We have not yet arrived in heaven, but the Spirit in us is giving us a down payment of that heavenly glory. So it's not a complete
mm-hmm.
possession of heaven right now, but it's nonetheless a real possession of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We are not without heavenly blessings because of the fact that we have the Spirit. So let's, with that sort of clear, let's talk more about what the questions you were raising. What does heaven in our lives look like?
Yeah, if it's a down payment, what's the currency here?
Yeah,
what are we talking
about? Yeah, exactly.
About?
What's the nature of that down payment? Well, we'll talk about that right after this break.
We'll get back to the message shortly. But first, I would like to remind you that Proclaiming Christ is brought to you by Providence Presbyterian Church, OPC. The desire of those of us at Providence is to minister the grace of the gospel in all its fullness and in all its power. If you would like more information about Providence, please visit us online at proclaimingchrist.net. That's proclaimingchrist.net. Or just Google Providence, Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, we're back and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Today we're specifically talking about what the Spirit brings us. And this is really part two of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The part one was the Spirit's mission, the Spirit's goal is to bring us Jesus Christ, to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, to reveal the Savior to us. And then
the benefits
with Christ, exactly, we get all of Christ's benefits. And that's what we're focusing on today, the fact that the Spirit brings us Christ and therefore brings us all of Christ's benefits. And we've noted the fact that these benefits, it's a long list.
Mm-hmm.
It's all spiritual benefits in the heavenly places, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. And the reality is, he says further in Ephesians 1, that the Spirit is the one that is the down payment of our inheritance. In other words, the Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee of our heavenly inheritance. The Spirit then, we can say joyfully, the Spirit brings us heaven right here and now. The Spirit brings the reality of heaven into our lives right here and now. Not completely.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, you know, crazy. Paul isn't saying that there's not the world to come. He's not saying that, oh no, even though this is the sinful world, no, you're in heaven right now. No, nothing like that. It's not, we're not
Belinda
completely
Carlisle.
There. Yeah. We're not completely there, but we are, but we have the reality in down payment form in our lives right
mm-hmm.
now. We're not completely there, but we're also not completely without heaven.
Right.
We're already defined by heaven. And we need to think then very carefully, very biblically, about what heaven in our lives looks like. what heaven in our lives looks like right now, because we could come up with a long and very unbiblical list of things. Mm-hmm. People have all kinds of fantasies and imaginations about heaven. And they could think, oh, well, heaven in my life right now is going to mean job success.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to mean I'm going to be healthy. We could think of all kinds of earthly comforts and mm-hmm. legitimate needs that we have and think heaven in my life right now means that.
Yeah, and there's plenty of things that are legitimate blessings. We look at creation is a good thing, and so whenever I can look at
food,
a good job, these are blessings from God.
Right.
We're more focusing on
children, all of that. Yeah.
We're focusing on expectations
of what the Spirit promises to bring us.
Yes, and what spiritual blessings. Paul's talking about in Ephesians 1:3 here.
Right, so, exactly. Because the non-believer, by God's, we refer to it as God's common grace, his general love that he has for all mankind as mm-hmm. as his creation, mm-hmm. he showers, gives rain to the wicked and mm-hmm. and the righteous alike.
Mm-hmm.
He gives good gifts to both believers and non-believers. And we look around and we see, boy, Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think he's ever professed faith in Christ, but he's got a lot of earthly blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want exactly that many earthly blessings. Way too much work and responsibility. But there's a lot of non-Christians that are healthier than Christians.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of non-Christians that are more comfortable with Christians, that have easier emotional lives because their childhood was easier, that kind of thing. Exactly. So there's all kinds of blessings that we want to thank God for. But when we're talking biblically about spiritual blessings,
mm-hmm.
the list does not
which
include,
are promised.
Which are promised, which are guaranteed, which mm-hmm. every believer is going to have in a growing measure. It's not these earthly blessings that people often associate with the Spirit. In reality, having heaven in our lives right now doesn't look like job security. It doesn't look like special powers. It doesn't even look like miracles like we think of them.
Okay.
Heaven in our lives right now looks like people that are thinking and acting like heavenly people. The Spirit's activity in our lives right now is conforming us to think more like Jesus and to act more like Jesus. The Spirit's goal in our lives right now, what he is blessing us with, is growing us up in our knowledge of God, growing us up in, dare I say it, doctrine and theological truths, things we think of as so cold and academic. Oh, no, that's not real spiritual piety. No, that's one of the blessings of the Spirit, to grow us up in the knowledge of God and to make us people that act more like heavenly people act. So we're going to think like heavenly people. We're going to act like heavenly people. And one of the passages I like to refer to in talking about this is later in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 3. This makes it very clear that the Spirit's power in our lives makes us think like heavenly people. The Spirit grows us up in our knowledge of God's love. Let me read Ephesians 3. I'll begin reading at verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So he's talking about being strengthened with power through the Spirit.
Okay.
He says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So there again,
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. The Spirit brings us to Jesus Christ, or he brings Christ to us, brings us to knowledge of Christ. And the result then is Christ and all his benefits. "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So note, the Spirit's power in our lives brings us to faith in Christ, so that Christ mm-hmm. may dwell in your hearts through faith, and then we are to be rooted and grounded in love, to have strength to comprehend the greatness of the love of Christ. He wants us to grow. He wants to grow us up in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit at work in our lives, heaven in our lives right now, means we think more like heavenly people. We have greater knowledge of Christ, greater acceptance of His love. It also means that we act more like heavenly people. What's a good passage that easily proves this?
Well, you have the fruits of the Spirit would be
right.
One place to go for that.
The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5.
Yes.
Exactly. Let's in Galatians 5, it's verse 22. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, note, this is fruit of the Spirit. This is, in other words, what the Spirit produces. Like a tree grows fruit. He's using that analogy. He's saying what the Spirit grows, what the Spirit produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, note what is absent in that list. The fruit of the Spirit is, and he doesn't list, job security.
Material wealth.
He doesn't list material wealth. He doesn't list earthly comforts.
Food.
Yeah, he doesn't list food, exactly. What he gives is a list of pious attributes.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us a list of righteous qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Now think about this. These are things that we don't often associate with the power of the Spirit and the reality of heaven right now in our lives. When we think about heaven, boy, we automatically think about flying around and joys and not being hungry anymore. Which, you know, not being hungry, those things, I don't know if we'll fly, but not being hungry, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's appropriate. But really, the essence of heaven is that we are made righteous, that we are made into the very image of Christ, whom we will behold face to face. So heaven in our lives right now, the Spirit's work in our life right now, is basic Christian piety and sanctification. And this blows me away every time I think about it. The Spirit's power is kindness.
You know, it's pretty plain.
It seems pretty plain to us. The truly spiritual person is a person who will be patient.
Yeah.
What? It seems like a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
You know, the truly spirit-filled, powerful person will be one who is able to shoot lightning bolts out of his hands, to conquer demons and on the other hand, be able to speak and turn a whole lake into wine or in Wisconsin beer, you know.
Right.
Something amazing and miraculous and out of the ordinary, we think. But no, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, basic Christian qualities, basic Christian piety.
And it really is miraculous, though, if you think about our ability, apart from the Spirit, to do any of these things.
Yeah, that's
true.
Exactly.
You might have glimpses of patience or kindness, but when you go to the Sermon on the Mount, Christ really raises the bar for
what really counts.
As obeying the law.
Yeah, we would typically say, well, I don't need that stuff as much.
Yeah.
We wouldn't. This sort of surprises us because when we think of, when Ted thinks, what I really need right now in my life is, you think, you know, a little more money.
Mm-hmm. Snowblower.
Yeah, snowblower, exactly, in Madison this year. Right, something like that. Boy, I could really use a new car. When someone asks us, what do you really need right now? We don't instantly go, well, I need more patience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need more love. Well, I'm lacking in kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we typically think of. But those are incredible gifts that we do desperately need because we're incredibly wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And they're miraculous gifts. It's supernatural, in other words, to make a person like me a kinder person.
Right.
So the Spirit's work in our lives right now, let's wrap it up and summarize. The Spirit's work in our lives right now is not to remove all earthly cares. The Spirit's focus is not to to give us certain extraordinary supernatural gifts and powers. Mm-hmm. The Spirit's work in our lives right now is to give us basic Christian piety. Basic Christian piety is really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
His work is not to remove all earthly cares, but to introduce us and conform us to the cares of heaven. Not to be a butler that serves us and works according to our priorities. The Spirit's work is to conform us to the priorities of heaven.
Hmm.
The priorities of heaven. So, putting this together with what else we've learned about the Holy Spirit, we want to say that the Spirit is a person, not a force, a gift, not a goal, a giver, not a seller, and He gives us Christ and holiness. He gives us Christ and all His benefits, which means more holiness, means greater sanctification. We can say then that a spiritual person or church is focused on Christ and striving for holiness. And that's a category we really need to think about regarding ourselves, regarding our churches. It doesn't, a spiritual church, spiritual person is not one who can claim they feel amazing things when they're in a worship service, who speaks in tongues, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual person or church is someone who's focused on Jesus Christ and truly striving to be a more obedient person, trusting in that work of the Spirit within them. And next time we're going to talk, flowing out of this, we're going to talk about what the Spirit uses to grow us up in Christ, what the Spirit uses to grow us up in holiness.
We hope you've benefited from this message from Proclaiming Christ, a ministry of Providence Presbyterian Church, OPC. For more information about Providence, please visit us on the web at proclaimingchrist.net. That's proclaimingchrist.net. Providence Presbyterian Church, OPC, ministering the grace of the gospel in all its fullness and in all its power. Proclaiming Christ can be heard Monday through Friday right here on WJWD.